Well, we've had many blessings this last day, and I'm certain we'll have many today. And I know we all look forward to the brethren that will be serving us. It's a blessing to have Brother and Sister Hersher with us, and we look forward to their services. We've looked forward to their many years of dedication to the Lord. And today, I think we have an interesting topic, one that we're all interested in. I think one that we all are aware of, and Brother Hersher will be talking to us. Heavens and earth shaking. Heavens and earth shaking. So, Brother Hersher.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's appropriate to give a word of thanks for Sister Hersher and myself to be privileged to be again at a Sacramento convention, and a further privilege to bring you the love of your brethren and ours at Phoenix. They all voted to have their love conveyed. They're with us in spirit, and we trust they're having a blessed day there at Phoenix. There will be several of them that will go down to serve the brethren at Tucson, or some of them this day. They asked if we could serve them once a month with someone, and that's proved to be a blessing too. I know we all remember our brethren in every place, and they are dear and precious to us. Our lesson today, Heavens and Earth Shaking, we'll open with the words of the Apostle in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in the last of the 12th chapter. And he has been speaking about the events, and rather paralleling them or calling attention to them, when the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel. And in the 21st verse of that 12th chapter of Hebrews, he notes in this, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." And when we look up the account in Exodus 19, verses 18 and 19, it just says that the whole mountain quaked. You remember they were not supposed to come up or touch the mountain or come close. He continues in Hebrews 12:22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." Someone has mentioned that at this convention. What a wonderful convention that will be. "Those which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." His blood, you remember, called for retributive justice upon Cain. But this speaks for atonement for sin and a glorious hope, an opportunity for life. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Yet God in the heavens and our glorified Lord also, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made." And this is a comforting thought in the midst of this, and how often it is that the Lord, when he tells us of the experiences, and through the prophets, the serious experiences that came upon Israel, would come upon the world, come upon different nations. But he has never, does he leave us down with that, but always brings forth some hope. And so the apostle continues and explains for us. says that the in this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made in this Satan's world and man-made things, we might say, rather than the arrangements of God and of Christ. As of things that are made, not that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Notice how now that opens a word of hope to us and a vista. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Or reverence, yes. Respect. So this thought of the heavens and the earth shaking, and we'll turn back for a moment. He's drawing this from Haggai, the second chapter, and verses 6 and 7, which we'll read. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Now what, he mentions two other things there, heavens and the earth, and says the sea. Well, what do we think about the sea? When we think of the sea, you remember that there was no more sea. Or if we turn to Isaiah, the last of the 55th chapter, I think it is, it describes the wicked are like the restless sea. There is no rest for the wicked. The restless sea that stirreth up mire and dirt. So we understand that. And the dry land, well, we think of the dry land, and we think of that as the land where in Amos 8 and 11, that was Isaiah 57, 20 and 21, about the sea. Amos 8 and 11 is a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. There was no water of truth. So the dry land, and that covers then pretty well all people, doesn't it? So we'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And again, opening a way of hope for us, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, in harmony, shaking those things which can be shaken, and those things which cannot be shaken, those things that would be in harmony with the incoming kingdom of righteousness under the rule of God's dear Son and the overcoming faithful body members of the Christ. We'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You notice how he signs that for our strengthening of our faith and our comfort. He is going to bring the world through this time, and it is going to be a benefit to all people. Excuse me. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verses 11 and 12, you remember that after Elijah fled from the wrath of Jezebel, and he located himself in a cave, and then the Lord asked him after a time of what he was doing there, and he came out of the cave and he saw a vision. And you remember that it was a vision of wind that rent the rocks, the kingdoms, mountains. And then there was an earthquake. And then there was a fire, wasn't there? And then in this vision he was told that the Lord was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. And it reminds us of some of these things. He saw this, and we'd like to go back to Haggai for a moment in that second chapter and read for us verses 21 and 22. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen or nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down. And the horses are doctrine, the riders are those that ride upon them or believe them, shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Sounds like fire, doesn't it? Of anarchy. Well, that's one way of getting ready. Fire fights fire. But it leaves those things which cannot be shaken. And we know that the truth cannot be shaken. Error exposed falls writhing in pain and dies alone. But truth crushed to earth rises again to hold its own. And the Lord's truth will rise and hold its own for all eternity. And we rejoice in these things, and it gives us comfort and strength to press on and to pray that the Lord will continue to send forth his word of truth according to our ability. And I know in that regard, all of us long and pray, and sometimes we think we'll be able to do more to support the work. And no more, the Lord maybe doesn't overrule it that way for at the moment. But you know the work has gone on, and the Lord has privileged it to do. We don't know, but I do know that Gideon's band was a little band finally, and they were weary and faint, but yet they were pursuing, and they came to Jordan and they crossed over. So may the Lord help us to be faithful. We realize that the plan of God is far advanced. We realize that it's the end of an age. We realize that there has been a harvest. There has been a gospel age. We're in a gleaning period. We're glad that the plan of God is advanced as far as it is. We pray, Thy kingdom come, don't we? When you see these things begin to come to pass, what does He say? What does the Lord tell us? To lift up our heads. For our redemption or deliverance draweth nigh. And of course, the deliverance of the church means the opportunity soon to begin for the blessing of all the families of the earth. So we're not frightened by these things. In fact, I'm sure we all give thanks unto the Lord many times at the shelter of His people. And how we're able to gather as we are and to consider these things, His word and His precious promises. But let us go on. In the 46th Psalm, Haggai there spoke of things that would be destroyed. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed or shaken, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and so forth. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles or the meeting places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved or shaken. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen or the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. There again, that look that word up, to slip or to shake or to fall. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our strong defense, some give it, an inaccessible strong tower. That's our God. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Well, we rejoice in these. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and casteth the spear in sunder. Cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. Still small voice. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, or heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so we can. We can bear all things through Christ our Lord. Christ, our sufficiency is of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That was the apostle's testimony. In Revelation 17, chapter for a moment, in verses 14 and 15, we read these words. And we are comforted, and we rejoice, all that love righteousness. The 12th verse speaks of the 10 horns or powers, which are 10 kings, which has received no kingdom. No, the kings are mostly gone, but still there are powerful nations, even though some may be falling apart, but they still have great armaments. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues or languages. Now, this is drawn from Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. And we might turn there for a moment. Jeremiah, the 51st chapter and 19th verse. It's the 13th verse, excuse me. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, you notice the comparison, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, in the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars. I don't know about caterpillars, but sometimes there's a regular scourge of them. As with caterpillars, and what? And they shall lift up a shout against thee. Yes. In 1 hour, she saith, I sit as a queen. I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. But in 1 day, she shall be brought down. When I was a young man in my teens, I went to the picture show one night, and they had a newsreel. I remember it to this day. It was a newsreel, part of which was showing a tremendous group of people, and they were carrying the Pope in his gilded cage, and it was on staves like the Kohathites carried the Ark of the Covenant. And they were carrying it fore and aft of these staves through this, and Pope was sitting in this gilded cage. Crowd pressing all around about. He would put out the hand and they would kiss his ring. He'd put out his foot and they'd kiss his toe. And he carried on the arms and the shoulders of the people. And as a young man, the thought came through my mind, Jesus' words, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And I knew there was something wrong. I knew that was not right. And so, the Lord has pronounced at the time, and he would permit that, but that also would be part of the things that would be shaken. Now we don't mean the people. No, but the errors must go. Be replaced with truth. The lie that falls to the ground writhing in pain and dies alone, but the truth rises again to hold its own. So we rejoice in these things. But we want it in the Lord's way and the Lord's time. And how the people also will rejoice. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, we know that we have also a good word of hope. There, he speaks of these same things. In the beginning of the 10th chapter, 2 Peter 3 and 10, he's just been saying that God is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then the 10th verse reads, 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, the basic constituents of earth's society," you look that up, "shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought," I'm going to change the ye to we, "what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation or behavior and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." And of course, the Lord again doesn't leave us with that picture. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And you know, this word "dwelleth" here has the thought of permanently or permanence. So we rejoice in these things. And turning to Isaiah 65 for a moment, we'll see what the Lord tells us about these good promises. 65, 17, and 18 read, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy." And I'm sure that this applies both to natural Israel and to spiritual Israel. "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. He'll build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof," and so forth. Yes, the blessings of the kingdom and with the opportunity of life stretching out before them. Under the blessings of Christ, the kingdom of God and of Christ. And then also in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verses 17 and 18. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Well, that's just about continuously, isn't it? Yes, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me." So they will have learned a lesson of the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the benefits of righteousness in harmony with God. As we think of these things and the shaking of the heavens and the earth, a number of things we think of: the filling of the earth, the population, the Lord said to fill it, not to overfill it. We think of the hunger. The last that I read just recently, 700 million that is chronically hungry. In the next 20 years, they expect 2 billion more to be added, and in the hungriest nations. If God were not over it all, it would be a dark picture indeed for a great many. In fact, our Lord's words would be in Matthew, would be, and in the prophet Isaiah also, those souls which God had brought into existence, the human family, would perish from the earth under the original condemnation to death. I think we can see that would be the case. And our Lord said so. There would be no flesh saved unless those things were changed. The prisons and the crime, always a problem. And as Brother Mitchell Beecher said so many years ago, and I've thought of it so many times, that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. Bosnia and the Serbs and the Croatians, it doesn't matter how long there's been so-called Christianity among them, but look at the trouble fighting another one. In Chechnya, troubles there. Somalia, that was mentioned earlier. And now more recently in news of Peru and Ecuador. What do you know about that? Peru and Ecuador. And that, if we think that Satan is bound, or it's the kingdom yet, here are two nations, small nations, and they're fighting over a portion of the land that is so dense with forest that they have to drop the soldiers off both sides of them with helicopters down into the area. They have to chop through the forest to get at each other to kill each other. We can see the God of this world, if it were just left to fallen, imperfect humanity to bring order out of chaos and to give light for darkness, and truth instead of error, and life instead of death, and sickness and disease, and hate and corruption, they'd never make it. They'd never make it. And so we rejoice in these things, these sure promises of the Lord, that He's going to do something about it. In Habakkuk, we won't have time to read all these. In Habakkuk, the second chapter, you're familiar with the watchman. For the night of morning cometh the night also. And he says, write the vision, make it plain, so that they will run. He says, the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry. No, it's for the Lord's appointed time. And you see, the apostle was quoting in that too, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. He brings that to our attention. So from New Testament and Old Testament, we have that. Let's read it now. The apostle puts it here. In verses 35 to 37. Cast not away therefore, and this is Hebrews 10, beginning of the 25th verse. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Yes. So let us continue to keep our faith strong, to look for the fulfillment of all God's precious promises, and rejoice in the glorious hope that yet lies ahead for the world of mankind, as well as the completion of the work of this age and the glorification of the church. What a wonderful prospect that is. Let's turn for a moment to the 67th Psalm. You know, that's a lovely little psalm. It has just the right number of verses. It has 7 verses in it. And we'd like to read them at this time. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known or made known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern, or the margin says, lead the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear or reverence him. That's the prospect that's before us, and God has promised. Now, I was thinking of ADM Company, you know, one of the world's great food suppliers, and now they're realizing that they've had what they call the Green Revolution, which has increased the productivity of Earth and has helped stave off this condition and have fed many of the hungry. Now they're learning how to benefit and to increase their yields and other ways of doing, and that they... Arthur Daniels, ADM Company, was saying, and they were told how many acres are still idled, and that they could be used. They could be used. There's no reason not to use them, except, and eventually this thing will be borne in upon mankind. They will realize that they can do something about some of these conditions and health. But that would only be a scratching of the surface. We realize that the great physician's help is needed in a far greater way than that, even. But this, in Numbers 14:21 also, it speaks of that the Lord would glorify, his glory would fill the earth. In Isaiah 59, while we're close by, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Yes, there is a benefit to those that strive to follow in the steps of God's dear Son. There is a benefit to righteousness. And that's so plain and simple that we should realize. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And so there's trouble. And there's need for help. But help is on the way. Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Yes, he's been setting up the heavenly phase of the kingdom, we believe, since our Lord's return. Well, in fact, it was beginning to be set up when he was raised and glorified. But nevertheless, the time, those that have fallen asleep in Christ, in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, God will bring with him. And so we believe that those that have fallen asleep in Christ were raised at that time of his return. And one by one, as the apostle explains, those that remain should be gathered together with them to meet the Lord in the air, in the heavens. And so the heavenly phase of the kingdom, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Well, the heavenly phase of the kingdom must be set up first, of course. That's where the blessings. After all, that holy city, the New Jerusalem, was what? It was coming down from God out of heaven in Revelation 21. Yeah, that's right. So we appreciate God's stately steppings and the reason for doing these things. Turning to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, for a moment, he tells again of these things that need to be, and hope for natural Israel, and of course for spiritual Israel, surely through whom the blessings will come. In Ezekiel 36, beginning with the 22nd, we read 22, 32, 36, and 37. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen or the nations whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen or nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations or heathen shall know, that's all besides Israel, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And he goes on with other precious promises. He tells them, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not, verse 32, not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. And in this 36 and 37, he says, then the nations that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Well, now, we know how he's done it. He's done it because of the spirit of those that have gone there from the time that it was desolate. And they pioneered that land, and they brought it back, you know. And sometimes we think about this when we hear the complaints of the Palestinians who had it all the time that it laid vacant, you know. And what did they do with it? They left the desert. Well, now I know that some, of course, when they saw all this activity going on, that they'd like to, now it's worth, that land's worth something. Oh, yes, a great deal. And so, of course, they'd like to have it. But on the other hand, do you realize that thousands come across that border into Israel to work on the construction projects every day, Palestinians? They haven't got it so bad when you think about it. They didn't. What did they do with it? Oh, they had very wealthy rulers among them, didn't they? Oil-rich people? Yeah. So the Lord has his own times and seasons for doing things, but he's doing it, he says, not for your sakes. For my holy name's sake, he says in other places, that his name might be glorified. These things are going to be carried out just the same as our Lord said. Every jot and tittle, the law must be fulfilled. What did he do? Why does he say it is finished when he was on the cross? He had kept and fulfilled every promise concerning him from his birth to his crucifixion. Everything. Kept them out. He knew. He knew what he was. He knew what was to happen to him. He knew what they'd say to him. He knew that they'd ridicule him on the cross, all prophesied. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. In other words, he says, you're going to ask me. Well, what does it say? All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Yes, that's right. But why does the Lord withhold blessings from us until we ask for them on bended knee and in prayer sometimes? So we'll appreciate them. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So we rejoice in these things and these prospects. So, dear brethren, we've got more here, but let us consider that what our course should be. We'd like to turn to the prophet Joel for a moment. And what our attitude may be, and that we might properly appreciate. In the second chapter of Joel, we read the 32nd verse, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, that we believe that's a glorified church, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we can rejoice in these things. In the John 5, 26 and 29, yes, they were those that will hear his voice and be brought forth from the tomb. Yes, as well as the living nations. Zechariah 8, 23, I think, tells us that the Lord shall joy over them with singing. Yes, the faithful and obedient. And we have the sure word of the fulfillment of Revelation 21, 1 to 5, the New Jerusalem, and that eventually he would be their God and they would be his people. He would wipe away tears from off all faces. There would be no more death or crying. All to the honor and glory of the Lord and the fulfillment of his word. And so, as we appreciate these things and how great our God is, and his righteous and loving and wise designs that he has for teaching us the lessons that need to be learned in all his children, that righteousness may spring forth from all nations and they may bless themselves in the blessing and through the blessing of the Lord. And I think of the words of the apostle in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse. In the common version, it reads, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. But in the Goodspeed rendering of this, we like it very much. It says, and the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into the steadfastness of Christ. Yes. As he was faithful unto death, so may we also into the steadfastness of Christ. And may the Lord help us so to do. And as the 133rd Psalm, the first verse says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. May the Lord help us to appreciate our blessings, to look forward to the fulfillment of all his good promises, that his name and that of our beloved Lord Jesus may be exalted in all the earth, and all mankind and the church also be glorified and blessed and rejoiced together. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hirscher, on those thoughts concerning the heavens and earth shaking. I think we full and well know that when we see these things, we are to rejoice knowing that that day is approaching. And take opportunity to rejoice, and I know we're all waiting for that day. So we appreciate your thoughts, Brother Hirscher. From
Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, truly it is with thankful hearts that we come to do Thee in the name and merit of Thy dear Son, Christ Jesus, our beloved Lord and our Master, our Redeemer, to give Thee thanks for all the way that Thou hast led us, for the knowledge You have granted us of Thy glorious and righteous plans and purposes, and for the faith to receive it in a measure of Thy Spirit, that we may look into Thy word of truth and be strengthened and comforted thereby. We pray that Thou would overrule the words spoken to Thy glory and to that of our Lord, in accordance with Thy holy will. Continue with us in our further exercises of this day, for we rejoice in Thy salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Bless our dear brethren in our home classes, and Thy dear children, our brethren throughout all the earth. And we fervently pray for Thy promised kingdom, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.